Today, the tapping super for home purchase conundrum. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, now this post covering finance and property news. Housing affordability is shot, as we've been discussing, thanks to demand stoked by high migration, higher lending multiples as the financial system was deregulated, and higher interest rates mirroring the RBA's battle to tame inflation. As a result, first-time buyers are delaying their purchase by several years, and more borrowers are leveraged up to the gills, despite first home grant schemes and shared equity schemes, which, as the Productivity Commission showed, did help a few to get into the market, but lifted prices for everyone else, so did not help structurally. Australians are already among the highest carriers of household debt in the world. In fact, according to Domain's 2024 First Home Buyer Report, an entry price home in Melbourne costs around $678,000, and in Sydney, it jumps to $927,250, close to a million. And looking outside the two major cities, that does reduce the cost a little, down to about $545,000. But to be lucky enough to secure any of those options, a 20% deposit will set you back somewhere between $109,000 and $185,000, which sort of begs the question, where do prospective buyers get that sort of cash? Well, some might be able to get help from the family bank or the bank of mum and dad. As I've shown recently, the average there is more than $106,000. Great if you have wealthy parents. And others may be able to save, but it's a long road. And whilst interest rates are higher than they have been for some time on deposits, it still takes years, and longer still, of course, if rates get cut later. And then, of course, there's the old chestnut of using accumulated super. And Labor is seeking money from the big superannuation investment funds to help pay for some of the desired affordable homes as part of their 1.2 million home plan. Superannuation is currently conceived as a mechanism to provide income when we stop working. It ensures hopefully we're comfortable and have the level of care that we need, so it takes the weight off the government pension scheme and is therefore from taxpayers. And it also generates huge fees to industry participants. And of course, it's founded on neoliberal market beliefs. And yet for some, super has already become an investment slush fund, which creates wealth for multiple generations. I'm talking about the self-managed super funds, which can use their superannuation money to invest directly in the property market. And they are doing that. According to the ATO, figures from December 2023 showed that $49 billion of residential real estate was owned by self-managed super funds, with the mean house price in Australia just below $1 million during the same period. That equates to more than 50,000 properties. The value of limited recourse loans used to fund property in self-managed funds actually rose 10% in the year to December, to nearly $62 billion. Although more than a quarter of our total national retirement savings, just under $870 billion, are kept in self-managed super funds, it's an option disproportionately used by older Australians. According to the ATO, only 0.5% of Australians aged under 25 have self-managed super funds, but their figure only climbs to 2.4% of people aged between 25 and 34. For people in their 50s, the number rockets to 22.4% and increases again to 24.3% once people reach their 60s. Now, this week we got a draft report from the Parliamentary Committee chaired by prominent superannuation critic Andrew Bragg, which has upped the ante on the Coalition's super for housing policy, suggesting first home buyers should be able to withdraw all of their retirement savings to buy a house or to use it as collateral to help borrow. Modelling provided to the committee found a 35-year-old who had $160,000 from their super as a 20% deposit on an $800,000 unit would have an apartment worth $1.2 million by retirement. But if that money had been kept in super, it would have appreciated to $319,000. Now, there are, of course, some big assumptions there about future property price growth, I note. The proposals in the interim report released by the Senate Economic Committee on Thursday do go significantly further than the Liberals' already controversial soup of a housing policy. That policy, which the Morrison government took to the 2022 election, proposed that first home buyers would be able to access 40% of their super up to an amount of $50,000. But the interim report proposes a percentage cap be removed and the dollar threshold be increased to $100,000, $150,000, or indeed no limit at all. And while the Liberals' current proposal suggests buyers are required to refund money used for a home deposit back into their super fund upon the sale of the property, the committee has proposed borrowers be allowed to keep that money provided they use it to purchase another home. And the committee also proposed borrowers be able to use their superannuation balance as collateral to access loans, although noted that that would lump borrowers with higher mortgage repayments. We understand that supply is the key component here to solve the housing crisis, but there is definitely a role for super to play to help people to get the money together for a deposit and get them out of the perpetual renting cycle, Senator Bragg said. Liberal super for housing policy is separate, by the way, to the First Home Super Saver Scheme, which allows savers to funnel $15,000 a year in voluntary contributions up to a total of $50,000 into superannuation before withdrawing it to purchase a home. And the interim report also recommended removing the $15,000 contribution and $50,000 withdrawal caps. Now, there was a dissenting report by the committee deputy chairwoman, Labour Senator Jess Walsh, who described the proposals as inequitable, inflationary, and ineffective. Expanding the coalition's super for housing policy in this way would only pour fuel on the fire of house price inflation contained in their existing proposal. The higher the withdrawal cap, the larger the impact on prices, she said. And she quoted analysis by the Super Members Council that showed a 30-year-old who withdrew $20,000, as was allowed under the COVID-19 Early Access Scheme, would be $93,600 worse off at retirement in today's dollars. And lobby group Super Members Council also described the proposal as economically reckless and a policy trap for younger Australians as they risked pushing property prices higher. And the Labour-aligned McHale Institute had previously told the inquiry that governments were too focused on demand-side solutions and such moves would cause significant market implications. Its analysis found that if home buyers could use their super, it would add $69,000 to the average Sydney price and $108,000 to homes in Melbourne. Now, independent journalist Tarrant Brooker wrote a recent news article titled "Superannuation Withdrawals Could Deepen Aussie House Crisis." He said that at the dawn of the year 2000, Australia's housing market was as close to what could be considered balanced. According to figures from PropTrack, a household earning the median national household income could afford to buy a median-priced home. At the top end, a household on the equivalent of approximately $200,000 a year in today's money could afford a home that reflected where their income sat in relation to the nation more broadly. For example, a household with an income in the 80th percentile, higher than the 80th percentile of households, could afford to buy a home in the 80th percentile by value. Since then, housing has gone from at times a relatively benign issue to now becoming one of the main issues that could play an instrumental role in deciding the outcomes of the next election. Labour's proposed solution is a significant increase in social and affordable housing construction through the Housing Australia Future Fund and a broad increase in funding. The Albanese government, along with National Cabinet, will set a goal to build 1.2 million homes over the next 5 years, which experts increasingly very much doubt will end up eventuating, given the backdrop of a struggling construction sector and significantly higher than pre-COVID interest rates. The Federal Coalition's proposed solution is allowing first home buyers to withdraw from the superannuation to put towards a home deposit. And this presents, he says, a rather unique situation for the electorate. Unlike many new policies, which are relatively unknown in terms of their actual real-world impact versus government or Treasury modelling, we have already had something of a mini preview on what the impact of the Coalition's policy could be on the housing market. because during the pandemic, the Morrison government authorized the public to be able to withdraw up to $20,000 each in total from their superannuation if they were in dire need of the additional funds in two rounds worth of potential withdrawals. People weren't ostensibly supposed to use those funds to fund home deposits, but data from DFA shows that these withdrawals were a major factor in enabling the purchase of around 22% of first home buyers in the 6 months to the end of January 2021. Coincidentally, this snapshot from DFA coincides perfectly with the absolute peak in first home buyer finance commitments in the ABS housing finance data between February 2020, the last month of data not impacted by the pandemic, and January 2021, the number of new first home buyer mortgages rose by 69.1%. This marked the strongest growth and highest number of new first home buyer mortgages since late 2008, when the Rudd government's doubling of the first home buyer grant on existing homes to $14,000 and tripling of the grant on new homes to $21,000 sent first home buyer demand skyrocketing almost instantly. Over the 6 months of data assessed by DFA, around 19,000 first home buyer purchases were supported to some degree by one or more of the purchasing parties withdrawing cash from their super. In a nation where the population recently ticked over 27 million people, this may not sound like much, but in the context of the property market, it is actually highly significant. Despite Australia having more than an estimated 11.5 million residential dwellings in the last 12 months, only 501,000 have been sold, and that represents a housing turnover rate in aggregate of around 4.3% based on estimates of the current number of residential dwellings. Adding an extra 19,000 potential purchases to the mix represents 7.6% of all housing turnover in aggregate over a six-month period. And the surge in first home buyer activity from the middle of 2020 to early 2021 helped put a floor under house prices at a time when uncertainty about the impact of the pandemic was near its peak. Between July 2020 and January 2021, dwelling prices nationally rose by 5.5%, and that would be the beginning of one of the largest and most swift rises in home prices in Australian history. Now, there are several major differences between the coalition's proposed scheme and the ad hoc mechanism that thousands of first home buyers cobbled together in the first early years of the pandemic. On paper, during the pandemic, superannuation was never meant to be withdrawn for a home deposit. It was supposed to be for individuals in severe difficulty. So relative to the coalition's proposals, the scope of what we saw during 2020 and 2021 was limited by the desire of much of the public to do the right thing. Meanwhile, the coalition's plan as it currently stands would provide a far greater pool of prospective first home buyers with the ability to access their super in order to buy a home. But this comes with potential drawbacks. Basic supply and demand teaches us that adding demand without adding additional supply on the other side of the ledger puts upward pressure on prices. With the nation's rental vacancy rates plumbing generational lows and the working age population growth rate at the highest level since records began in the late 1970s, the rental crisis is unfortunately unlikely to be over anytime soon. So for thousands of renters, buying a home is a goal to escape the uncertainty and challenges of the rental crisis. By providing access to retirement savings to purchase a home, we could see a surge in first home buyer activity that is even greater than the increase facilitated by super withdrawals during the pandemic. For over 60 years, federal governments have pursued various demand-side policies for first home buyers, which the Federal Productivity Commission has concluded has failed to achieve their stated goals and may have instead benefited property sellers. There is an argument to be made that the coalition's policy could end up doing the same. Another point worth considering here is that many Gen Z and millennial Australians already fall well behind on how much super they should have. The gap between estimates of what a person's balance should be and what it actually is has been growing significantly, particularly after the COVID-19 period, when many young people took advantage of that coalition access to super of $20,000. The problem we've got is that if people can withdraw, say, another $50,000 or more, does it create another headache whereby the housing market is inflated, but a person either won't be able to retire or will have to lean on the government pension, which already costs the economy tens of billions of dollars a year, a problem that super was, of course, in part designed to address. If the coalition is serious about creating opportunities for people to get into the housing market, perhaps a more obvious option will be to close the self-managed super loophole and see everyone on a level playing field. But more generally, my view is that this is actually a proxy political war on the purpose and nature of superannuation, rather than a real honest discussion about how to fix the broken property market. It is, in essence, a mixture of misdirection, look over there, not over here, and an avoidance of the more critical issues of migration control and the better quality supply of affordable housing that is absolutely required. In other words, perhaps it's a case of fiddling while Rome burns again. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. I mean, thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.